by not promptly warning radio that a gunman was loose on campus.
Had the student body and staff known all of the details about the initial shooting, many would have taken different actions that morning.
Lori Haas's daughter was among the dozens killed. Authorities in suburban San Diego torched a home today to destroy explosives they found inside.
I don't think there's any damage to any house around there.
Sheriff Bill Gore, if Jim Morrison was still alive, as some believe he is, he'd probably be happy today. Florida Governor Charlie Crist posthumously pardoned the singer for a 1969 indecent exposure conviction. This is ABC News.
Tonight, two new Barbara Walters specials.
One amazing event.
Barbara gets personal with Oprah, and nothing's off limits.
Am I making you cry? No, I need tissue.
Then meet 2010's most fascinating people.
The cast of Jersey Shore. Sandra Bullock. LeBron James. Jennifer Lopez. Justin Bieber. Sarah Palin. Betty White.
At 88, does one still have sex? If one gets lucky, I bet they do.
And the year's most fascinating person. It all starts tonight at 9, 8 Central on ABC.
This season, why not send a personalized video gift card from the Home Depot? Get your gift card online or in-store and make your gift-giving even more special when you upload a personal video. Let the people on your list get a little Christmas with your own touch. We're lowering the cost of their next project with a personalized video gift card. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, see store or homedepot.com for details.
The 10 most fascinating people of the year. We find out who Barbara Walters picks tonight.
On ABC's Barbara Walters presents the 10 most fascinating people of 2010, the cast of MTV's Jersey Shore clears up some misconceptions.
Most of us have college backgrounds.
Yeah. Betty White discusses retirement.
Why are we cut from some...
Hi, this is Scott from Kiss Energy Solutions, wishing you a happy holidays and offering you the gift of big savings. You can save up to 50% on your electric bills, and if you call me right now, you can save up to 65% off on all our products and services. So act now and take advantage of the $1,500 federal income tax credit that is expiring at the end of this month. Our products are typically installed in just one day, so we will not disrupt your busy holiday schedule. And you can keep your money for the holidays with our new one-year same-as-cash program. No interest or payments for a year. Get your income tax credit back and save for a year on your electric bills before you have to pay. Remember, the $1,500 federal income tax credit expires at the end of December. So please call now for the best deal. 1-800-690-3840. That's 1-800-690-3840. Or KissEnergySolutions.com. That's K-I-S-S EnergySolutions.com.
Tonight, two new Barbara Walters specials.
One amazing event.
Barbara gets personal with Oprah, and nothing's off limits.
Am I making you cry? No, I need tissue.
Then meet 2010's most fascinating people.
The cast of Jersey Shore. Sandra Bullock. LeBron James. Jennifer Lopez. Justin Bieber. Sarah Palin. Betty White.
At 88, does one still have sex? If one gets lucky, I bet they do.
And the year's most fascinating person. It all starts tonight at 9, 8 Central on ABC.
Now at the Home Depot, save up to 30% on select Christmas decorations. From LED lights and pre-lit trees to our Martha Stewart Living decorations. You can fill that orange cart with all the red and green you need to make the season bright. Because we're lowering the cost of bringing home the holidays with up to 30% off select decorations. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, staff, management, or sponsors. Good afternoon, and welcome to Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani of Ascani Wealth Management. Ascani Wealth Management is located in the Golden Bear Plaza in North Palm Beach. Give Dan a call at 877-578-5788. That's toll-free, 877-578-5788. 5788, or check out the website at www.ascaniwm.com. Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors and is a registered representative of Kovac Securities. Dan can help you with money management, security brokerage services, financial services including financial planning, preservation, estate protection, and much, much more. Over the next hour, Dan will share his wisdom on all of these subjects. Now, here's the host of Defending Your Money, Dan Ascani.
Welcome back to the Defending Your Money show. This is Dan Ascani. Thanks for joining me.
Today, I'm going to talk about the following. Are we going through a fixed income exhaustion? As I heard an analyst say today. Interesting phrase. We're going to talk about that, though. We're also going to talk about whether or not the House Democrats, which held an unusual vote today within their caucus to demand changes to the tax cut deal just announced by President Obama. We'll also talk about whether it's time to diversify part of your portfolio into something else besides stocks and bonds. All those today on the Defending Your Money show. This show is all about you as the consumer, the investor, and or the business defending, building, and preserving our wealth in this tough economy. The subjects I just gave for this show explain why, at least explain in part, why this economy is tough. I mean, it was tough enough going through the collapse and the crash and everything else that happened. Now we're in the wake of that crash, and there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of things happening that are worth talking about. So we want to help you on this show defend, build, and preserve your wealth. And, of course, that's what we do for a living for our clients. I'm a registered investment advisor representative and securities broker and founder of Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, Florida. There we manage accounts on a discretionary basis, perform financial planning and consulting, estate planning, tax planning, and more for our clients, and introduce accounts to Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, and Pershing. What that means is that if you have an account at Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, or Pershing, or are willing to move your account there or open one there, we can manage it for you or become your broker of record. And in that way, we can help you defend and build your wealth with your account, and we can help match you up with various options out there. For example, this is a very low interest rate environment. Savings rates are low, extremely low. Money market fund rates, low, extremely low. Treasury bill rates, very low, just coming off of record low yields. The lowest treasury bills and notes have ever yielded were just coming off of those lows, rates rising just a little bit. But nonetheless, rates are low. The Federal Reserve has said repeatedly, and it meant it, that rates will be low for an extended period. And even though the Fed, I believe, had the intent of raising rates by now, by the end of 2010, the Fed envisioned itself raising rates by now, I think. And I think the market had thought that before, but given that the economy turned down again over the summer, given that unemployment is not only stuck in the nines, but actually reapproaching 10%, given the European sovereign debt crisis, and given that this economy is tepid, the recovery almost seems almost non-existent. Given all that, the Fed has changed its mind, and rates will be low for another extended period. When I say rates, I mean the rates that the Fed controls, which are the overnight rates, the overnight federal funds rate. That's the rate that banks lend to each other to settle overnight reserve requirements. And that rate, according to the Fed, which controls the rate, is zero or near zero. And everything tied to that, savings rates, money market fund rates, treasury bill rates, everything else that's tied to or influenced by the overnight federal funds rate and the Fed, is also low. It's at the point where if you look at some data that's available right on the Internet from the Federal Reserve's website, from the taxfoundation.org's website, and from the Department, make that the Bureau of Labor Statistics website, BLS.gov, if you put all that data together and you look at what CD rates have been for the last 30-some-odd years, you look at what the tax rate, the marginal tax bracket has been since 1980, if you look at what the consumer price index or inflation has been since 1980, and then you compute what your real rate of return on a bank CD is after taxes and inflation, in many cases, in the last 30 years, you've lost money, and now you're hardly making anything because rates are so low. You might get 1.5 or maybe 2%. If you go out 2, 3, 4 years, by the time you factor in the marginal tax rate, let's say a 25% rate, and the inflation rate, consumer price index, although not real high, you're barely coming out ahead. In fact, you're down. According to that data, you lost 2.15% after taxes and inflation in a six-month CD as of 12/31/09. I can hardly wait to see the data for 12/31/10, because in the last 30 years, the best after-tax and inflation yield on a six-month bank CD, according to those data sources I gave, is 2.49% in 1982, when six-month CDs were paying 12.57%. That's according to the Fed. That's an example of how other alternatives besides bank CDs, savings accounts, and brokerage money market accounts might be worth considering. And I said at the top of the show, are we going through a fixed income exhaustion? The reason I'm saying that is I heard an analyst say that today. Interesting assessment, because what's happening is we've seen Treasury bond, municipal bond, and corporate bond prices fall ever since the election. And since interest rates move in the opposite direction of bond prices, that means rates are rising, at least with those long-term instruments, muni bonds, Treasury bonds, and corporate bonds. And that's an adjustment going on for a few reasons. One, the Federal Reserve is involved in aggressive easing, the latest round of which it announced the day after the election in November. It's called Quantitative Easing 2, QE2, and that's a phrase used to describe Fed policy or any central bank policy that jams interest rates to zero and that injects aggressively large amounts of money into the banking system, hoping it makes it to the economy, and hoping that it's lent out by the banks to potential mortgage holders, commercial loans, builders, developers, whomever, businesses, QE2. So between that and the recent announcement by President Obama that a deal has been reached to extend the Bush tax cuts, many investors now feel that perhaps the economy will pick up a little bit in 2011, and maybe instead of deflation, we'll be dealing with a little bit of inflation, and even more importantly, interest rates are too low on fixed income investments relative to what inflation and the economy might be in 2011. Because remember, with the federal funds rate at zero during quantitative easing ever since 2008, those are emergency low levels on interest rates. And they're not going to stay at emergency low levels forever. In fact, investors, understandably, keep trying to figure out how long they will be at zero, because as soon as the Fed inches those rates up just a little bit, that's going to be a signal that they're due to rise in increments, like 2003 to 2007, when the Fed began to bring rates off a then very low rate of 1%, and in 2003 it raised the federal funds target rate, bringing federal funds rate itself up 0.25% per FOMC meeting. That means Federal Open Market Committee meeting. That's when the Fed meets to decide these things. It raised rates 0.25% every 6 weeks, until the T-bill rate was all the way to 5.5, and federal funds was close to that, in 2007, and then we crashed, rates went to zero. So at some point, investors buying fixed income instruments like corporate bonds, municipal bonds, government bonds, have got to decide if rates are going to rise anytime soon, because that would mean, since the principal value of bonds moves in the opposite direction of interest rates, that if rates rise, your principal investment is going to drop. The value of your bonds will drop after you buy them. And so a fixed income exhaustion Possibly. Investors have been diving into fixed income instruments since the crash. They've driven treasury bond and bill prices so high that yields on many of those treasury issues are the lowest, or were the lowest on record. So what do you do? That's what this show is about, defending your money. I'm here to talk about that more after the break. We've got some interesting ideas. Hopefully you can stick around and take down the number that appears on the commercial, the phone number, because I'm going to want you to call me and sign up for our upcoming wine tasting event. Don't go away. Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money show. Let's face it, today's economy is tough, and building wealth in a low interest rate environment with a roller coaster stock market is difficult. That's why I always say building your wealth begins with an accurate assessment of your investments and the risks you're taking. We use modern portfolio theory to assess the risk you're taking in your portfolio so we can help you have peace of mind knowing the level of risk or standard deviation in your investment portfolio. At my firm, Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, we'll analyze your portfolio with software to help quantify the risk. Then we'll make recommendations to adjust your investments to the level of risk you want to take. Call now, toll free at 877-578-5788. That's 877-578-5788 for your thorough, no-obligation portfolio review, or submit your request on defendingyourmoney.com.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kobach Advisors Incorporated and a registered representative of Kobach Securities, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money show. Let's face it, today's economy is tough, and building wealth in a low interest rate environment with a roller coaster stock market is difficult. That's why I always say building your wealth begins with an accurate assessment of your investments and the risks you're taking. We use modern portfolio theory to assess the risk you're taking in your portfolio so we can help you have peace of mind knowing the level of risk or standard deviation in your investment portfolio. At my firm, Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, we'll analyze your portfolio with software to help quantify the risk. Then we'll make recommendations to adjust your investments to the level of risk you want to take. Call now, toll free at 877-578-5788. That's 877-578-5788 for your thorough, no-obligation portfolio review, or submit your request on defendingyourmoney.com.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kobach Advisors Incorporated and a registered representative of Kobach Securities, member FINRA, SIPC.
Back to the Defending Your Money show, where this show is all about you. I'm talking about you as the consumer, the investor, and or the business, defending and building your wealth in this tough economy. I said just before the break to take down our phone number, 877-578-5788, because I want you to come to our wine tasting event. That's December 14th, Tuesday, at the store, self-storage wine facility in Palm Beach Gardens. And it's going to be a great event. You can sample some wines and cheeses, take a little tour of the self-storage facility. It's a nice facility. It's nice and new looking, and there's a nice room. Almost looks like a boardroom, big table where people can sample wines, and the wine taster can come in, give you some background on it, and you can meet us. We're not going to hammer you with a presentation. We're just going to host a wine tasting event. And that's going to be sponsored by Hartman Real Estate Investment Company. And we want you to come. Space is limited, though, so you got to call us with a reservation, 877-578-5788. Toll-free, this is December 14th. That'll be 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. after work. Good thing to do during the upcoming holidays. So give us a call. Now, I've been talking today about not only ways to defend and build your wealth, but also, are we in a fixed income exhaustion, and is it time to diversify part of your investable assets, part of your portfolio, into something else besides stocks and bonds? I don't mean sell all your stocks and bonds. They still serve a purpose. But before the break, I was pointing out that the real rate of return on bank CDs has been negative many years and infinitesimal many other years of the last 30 years. because of the tax rate and inflation rate. So after taxes and inflation, the best rate of return, according to the data compiled from the Federal Reserve's website, the taxfoundation.org website, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics website, BLS.gov, the best rate of return in the last 30 years has been 1982, where investors received a whopping 2.49% annual yield on six-month CDs after taxes and inflation, and that's the best. There's been many years which were negative, including last year, 2009, possibly this year too. In 2009, according to those data, the data of the sources that I just gave you, minus 2.15% was the annualized return on a six-month bank CD after taxes and inflation. And I also said, are we going through a fixed income exhaustion? That's something I heard an analyst say today. I thought it was an interesting way to word it. The exhaustion would be that investors, and I'm not just talking about private investors, I'm talking about institutions, and it could be businesses, it could be global investors, domestic, sovereign countries, have bid fixed income investments so high that it almost seems like they're exhausted from going up. And so they're coming back down. I don't think that's all there is to it. I was describing before the break that investors, since the election, have been reevaluating after the Republicans took control of the House. And the day after that, after the Federal Reserve said it's going to engage in another round of aggressive, unconventionally aggressive easing called quantitative easing, that after that, maybe the economy in 2011 would pick up and maybe inflation would pick up enough to bring Fed-controlled interest rates off emergency low levels, which is zero. By Fed-controlled interest rates, I mean the federal funds rate. That's the rate that banks charge each other for overnight lending to settle bank reserve requirements with the Federal Reserve. And the Fed has wanted those rates at zero or near zero, between 0.25%. They fluctuate a little bit every day, and a lot of times they're close to zero because they want banks to be able to get free money and reliquify the banking system, which collapsed and almost fell off the face of the earth in 08. So the Fed has been hoping that banks can borrow money at zero, basically, and lend to mortgage holders or commercial loans, developers, whomever, at a much higher rate than zero. That's the Fed's favorite trick in reliquifying the banking system after it's been in trouble. The problem is it's not helping the economy expand enough to bring down the unemployment rate. Unemployment rate is rising, not falling. It's reapproaching 10%. Economic growth in this country is tepid at best, not enough to bring the unemployment rate down. So the Fed back in there announcing after the election quantitative easing 2, where it is injecting an unconventionally large amount of money into the banking system, hoping that makes it to the economy. So investors, in turn, have thought, well, maybe rates will finally come off these emergency low levels, and so I better start demanding a higher yield from the bond investments I buy. Because after taxes and inflation, those numbers I just read you about bank CDs, that also applies to corporate bonds, government bonds, municipal bonds, everything, because you're trying to beat the inflation rate and the tax rate. Otherwise, you're coming out behind. So maybe it's time to look for something else, and that's why this week I've been talking more again about real estate investment trusts, because real estate, according to the real estate investment company people that we've met with recently, we keep close touch with them because we want to know the status of the real estate market, the state of the real estate market, and we always look for investment options because that's what we do as wealth managers and investment advisors. Is we match you up with investments that will help you achieve your financial goals and at the level of risk you want to take. So when I talk about bank CDs, corporate bonds, government bonds, municipal bonds, real estate investment trusts, I've covered a good part of the risk-reward spectrum there, both in terms of yields and risk. But in this case, if real estate improves, which it looks like it is, lending conditions appear to be improving, and the REIT market, real estate investment trust market, has improved substantially from a situation a couple of years or so ago where it looked like REIT companies were going to have trouble rolling over their debt and even hanging around, surviving, to now things are really loosening up. And that means that certain real estate investment trusts, which can offer a distribution, monthly distributions, monthly income stream, anywhere from 6 to 7.25 or even 8%, depending on the type of REIT it is, what they invest in, and be an inflation hedge, depending on the type of REIT, it's at least a potential inflation hedge, depending on the type of REIT it is, meaning what it holds as its properties inside the investment trust, that may be something to consider if you qualify. And if you read the prospectus and get all your questions answered, and then you look at the difference between bank CD rates, savings rates, money market rates, municipal bonds, corporate bonds, treasury bonds, and anything fixed income, when you look at the after-tax and inflation rates of those and the risk to principal of bond prices declining as rates come off these emergency low levels, because remember, bond prices move in the opposite direction of interest rates. So if you're invested in bonds, that may be a good thing for part of your portfolio. But for the rest, if the economy picks up or if inflation hits, or if you need a tax-advantaged monthly income stream, tax-deferred, for example, it may be time to consider something else also. And I shouldn't say for the rest of the portfolio. You'd never put the rest of your portfolio in one thing, like REITs or stocks. I don't advocate being heavily concentrated in any asset class, whether it's stocks, bonds, gold, real estate, anything tangible, anything debt instrument, anything equity. You want it properly diversified and the risk level to be according to your risk tolerance level. You may be conservative and you don't want to take a lot of risk. That means you're going to get less return, but you're not going to take as much risk, and you're going to have a different mix of stocks, bonds, and tangibles like gold or real estate or whatever than someone else who is more aggressive and who can risk the money. And you may be of a different age, a younger age, for example, to be aggressive versus someone in retirement who doesn't want to be aggressive. In any case, it's how you mix it all together, how you diversify, whether you are diversified or just think you're diversified. Because remember, many advisors, brokers, investors, and portfolio managers have relied on the old school style of investing, of diversification, where you buy different types of stocks and a few bonds and you think you're diversified, but actually you're still very subject to the stock market fluctuation. And instead, you can add other things to that, and that's what we want to help you with. This is Dan Ascani. I'm a registered investment advisor, representative, securities broker, and founder of Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, Florida. We manage accounts at Fidelity and other firms. Give me a call, 877-578-5788, toll-free. That's 877-578-5788. Toll-free, we'll help you with a free portfolio review. And don't forget to sign up for our wine tasting event Tuesday evening, December 14th. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Thanks for listening to Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani of Ascani Wealth Management, located in the Golden Bear Plaza in North Palm Beach. Now it's time for you to take action. Give Dan a call and set up your free consultation, 877-578-5788. That's toll-free, 877-578-5788. Or check out the website at www.ascaniwm.com. That's ASCANIWM.com. And join us every day at this same time for Defending Your Money with your host, Janice Gunn, on AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's Money Talk Radio.
The opinions expressed in this sponsored program are strictly related to postgres and callers and not necessarily those of restrictions, staff management, or sponsors. We'll be right back.
featuring the very best in business broadcasting. You are listening to AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's only money talk radio.
The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors.
This is Capital Concept with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services. This radio show is a no-holds-barred, no-nonsense breakdown of every area of the financial market. Liberty International is committed to helping you to protect and grow your assets. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491 or go online to www.lifs.info. And now, here's Jeff Shuler.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Capital Concepts. I am Jeff Shuler. I'm Director of Research here at Liberty International Financial Services, Inc. And great week. Challenging week, but a really good week. Getting some really good things accomplished. Some very interesting dynamics going on in the real estate market right now. Surprisingly, there's a lot of opportunities out there right now. Not as much on the investment side, per se, but for those people who are seeking a good place to live, that want to take really the risk of pricing out of the equation to get something that's really affordable, it's right there. And there's some really, really good opportunities if you know where to look, who to handle your negotiations, and structure the deal. Again, I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I was talking with Chris a little about it more today. Again, how the dynamics of the real estate market have really changed. Almost like they've wiped out a trend, a multi-decade trend. And one thing that I brought up in this discussion, it's about history. And people and society, it tends to swing like a pendulum with things like everything from morality, dress, social leniency, things like that. Always swings, goes way conservative, way liberal, back and forth. And real estate right now, again, it's getting back to that house being a home and somebody looking at it not as a place for them to make some money, not as a place that they're going to be able to pull some money out of in a couple of years if they need it, but as a place that they're going to live for possibly the rest of their lives to raise a family in, if they're that, you know, if they're young, or to retire in, and you know, spend their retirement years if they're, you know, closer to, let's say, my age. And it's adding an entirely new way of looking at things. But interesting is that the demand side is there, but it's demanding lower prices. People don't want to be taken. They're going to go into this place. You're going to be there for a while. But it really boils down to making a solid decision. There is some interesting news out. Diana Olick, who does work for CNBC in the real estate sector, somebody I happen to respect. I think she's got a lot on the ball, said this. Last week, I interviewed an investor who buys foreclosed properties and rents them out long-term for solid returns. He claims it's the only way to get the right, only way to right the housing market, get long-term investors to eat up the excess inventory. The biggest roadblock, however, is credit. Fannie and Freddie both limit the number of investor mortgages. Now, the administration, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, is considering ways to get more investors into the housing market, possibly with the help of Fannie and Freddie. Now, HUD didn't confirm it, but Fannie's chief economist, Doug Duncan, said it's definitely on the table at both HUD and Fannie. Here's a quote. We're certainly exploring the opportunities to expand that. The data in our own portfolio show that when you get to a certain number, like 10 is the number we've chosen, if there's any default issue, all the loans go bad at the same time. So at the present time, we have two mandates. One is to help provide liquidity and help with funding, but the second is protect taxpayers as well. In other words, they don't want to deal with investors because numbers have shown. If the investor has problems, all the pieces of property that they have tend to go bad at once. So it's not just like an individual. If they have problems, there's one problem loan with an investor, there's, 10 or 15 problem loans, and that's something that they have to keep an eye on. But what I see is some positive movement, not in the marketplace itself, but in the dynamics of the marketplace. And it's going to take, there's no two ways about it. As far as pricing goes, it's going to take years and years to get through the overhang, the excess inventory, et cetera. There's just no way around that. And new homes and new construction, that's not going to pick up for a while yet either. But from a standpoint of investing, especially those of us that have, real estate funds and investment funds that we use to pick up properties, it's very, very good. And it's pleasing. It's good to see. Puts a smile on my face. With the S&P sideways, but sitting at the upper average range, there's a lot of investors wondering, is it going to break up, break out, or is it topping out? Many investors are watching technical signs as the market tell. The S&P rose above 1220 at a resistance level that represents 61.8% Fibonacci retracement of the bear market slide, a key technical indicator. If it's able to break above 1235, a two-year intraday high hit earlier this week, it could get to 1250 or 1260 by the end of the year. That's Phil Orlando, chief equity market strategist. We're at a very interesting time stock-wise. We really are. And we're seeing investors and speculators right now on both sides of the coin of whether or not it's going to break out or if it's topping out. I, as I always do, recommend exercising caution, especially with equities. I try to remember that it is not a stock market. It is a market of stocks. It is a place where you can invest in corporations. And to me, you do two things. You look first at the company. Is this a place I'd work? Is this a place I would want my future tied up in? Do they have good management? Is management young enough that it's going to stick around for a while? Is it stable? Is their product or service recession or depression proof? Can the company stand the test of time with a devaluation of the currency, with all the negative things that can happen? How do they react? How can they react to that? And if all those things measure up, then I look at value, price per earnings, PEG ratios, things like that, and then I use timing. Then I use technical analysis to figure out where's my support, where's my resistance, find my weakness, buy on weakness, and hold. And then on the flip side, when it comes to sell, if it gets to my price target far sooner than my time target, because you have to have both. You have to have a time horizon and a price horizon. And if the price horizon gets there before your time horizon, then you're overvalued, you sell, you take your profits, you move on, go to another opportunity. That's the way I look at things for that. Right now, when prices are, honestly, the way I look at things, pretty rich, the richer, then the more cautious approach that you take. And I look at commodities the same way. Bond insurer MBIA is suing Morgan Stanley over claims made by the bank regarding mortgage-backed securities. The case involves MBIA claims that Morgan Stanley, quote, made false representations regarding the underwriting standards of bonds it later insured. Now, we can all get a little bit, blasé about lawsuits against banks involving misrepresentation. We're getting dozens and dozens of them. Mortgage repurchase exposure stories have been around for a while now, and they've been covered time and time again. But this one is interesting. because this is the first time an insurance company is going after a brokerage firm, a la slash bank. The mortgage-backed security industry is rife with problems, and mortgages are rife as investment vehicles with risk. With what's going on, that's the side of the coin with real estate that bothers me, that leads me to believe that the banks, well, I can't tell the difference between a bank and a brokerage firm these days. You can't do it. The financial services industry has a lot more problems than even we're seeing now. And it's an area that I avoid, but it also makes me worry about the overall economy, which leads to the strength of our currency because the fiat currency is based upon the strength of the economy. Again, upward pressure on the price of precious metals. Today we saw gold rise $5.70, closing at $13.87. Silver up 40 cents at $28.76. Platinum down 4 at $16.75. Palladium up $14 at $7.38. Now, the Dow was down a couple points, 2.42, really nothing, at 11,370.06. The NASDAQ was up 751 at 26.16.67, three-year high. S&P up 472 at 12.33. Nikkei up 53.5 to 10,285.88. Oil was up 27 cents a barrel, closing at 88.55. And the dollar managed to eke out a 0.06 gain, closing at 80.05. It was up against the euro, the British pound, the rupee, and the Mexican peso. It was down, however, against the Canadian and Australian dollars, the South African Krugerrand, the Swiss franc, the renminbi, the yen, and the ruble. But where we're having trouble, bonds. Talked about this yesterday, and trouble in the bond market leads to trouble in real estate. Why? Rising interest rates mean rising mortgage costs. Rising mortgage costs, you start getting into that affordability problem. The higher the mortgage rates go, the fewer people can afford certain levels of home ownership. The 30-year Treasury went off with a bang. Shockingly, surprisingly, the 30-year bond auction was really strong. Nobody expected it. Came out of the blue. But everybody still thinks Treasuries are getting ready to decline or going to continue to decline. Some people think, or these bond professionals think, because economic signs are getting better, inflation threats are accelerating. The government, though, keeps issuing more debt. Well, it has to. Kim Rupert, Managing Director of Global Fixed Income Analysts at Action Economics in San Francisco, said, the bias will be for higher rates. It's not going to be a straight line. It never is. We're going to see dips in yield like we're seeing today, which you saw. Thursday's auction showed just how fickle the market has been lately. The 30-year bond showed much more interest than anticipated, despite two shorter duration auctions that were not so good. That's the thing. The 10-year and the 2-year were The 30-year was stronger. It could be that because of beat-down prices, it made it a little more attractive. But to me, again, it makes little sense. The yield on the 10-year Treasury, or is it Goldman Sachs front-running the Treasury again? That sounds more like it, because they know the Treasury is going to buy $600 billion of Treasury. The Fed's going to buy $600 billion of Treasuries, just front run it, pick them up, sell them to the government at a higher price. We have to keep an eye on the bond market, because the bond market is going to influence every other market. We'll talk about that, what it means to you, and get back from a break.
Is the recession over, or is the worst yet to come? You've heard all the speculation. Now it's time for solutions. Liberty International Financial Services is helping its clients to stop the bleeding in their investment portfolios and retirement accounts, and even recoup much or all of their stock market losses. Diversify your holdings with precious metal IRA accounts.
invest directly into crude oil without the risk associated with futures, options, or the stock market. Liberty International specializes in cutting-edge but not bleeding-edge investment programs for precious metals and physical commodities that can significantly diminish your sell-side risk. Call now for your personal and confidential consultation with the professionals at Liberty International Financial Services. Call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Don't miss this opportunity. Take action now. Call for your personal and confidential consultation. 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.lifs.info. You are listening to Capital Concepts with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services, your source for the whole truth about the financial market. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.lifs.info. Now, once again, here's Jeff Shuler.
Yeah, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Capital Concepts. I am Jeff Shuler, Director of Research here at Liberty International. Talking a little bit about the bond market, and a lot of people in South Florida own bonds because you're retired and you need the income. And you look for bonds or high dividend paying stocks to give you that income. Problem is that, you know, right now rates are low. You'll take the lower yield, and hopefully you're staying on the short end of the maturity spectrum so that, you know, when rates go up, you're not going to get caught with both a lower rate of return and a diminishing valuation of your portfolio, hopefully. Interest rates can be held down by the government. On a short-term basis, they're influenced by the Fed, in by their buying and their selling, and some of the actions they're taking right now. But overall, the Fed really is limited in what it can do to influence prices. And all bond markets have their day. It is economic suicide to do what the Fed is doing for too long, this zero interest rate policy, and they know it. So don't expect it to last too long. The question is, what effect is it going to have when rates start going up? Now, obviously, if you're listening to this program, if you're not a client of mine, or a client of the companies, you may be a client of somebody else's, and well, you're just out there, you picked up some gold, you picked up some silver, and obviously you want to know what effect it's going to have. Well, I can tell you this. Interest rates going up will cause speculators to move out of precious metals. That's something you can pretty much take to the bank. Why? Well, there's a certain faction, and there's a certain part of portfolios that are designated towards or designated for preservation of capital. Now, right now, a fair amount of that is sitting, some of that is sitting in gold because they're not risking anything interest rate-wise. In other words, if it's sitting in gold and you could make 5% in a money market account, you've got that. Hey, wait a second. I can leave it in the money market account and I risk my principal and I'm getting paid 5% for it. It's a little bit of a short-sighted viewpoint because, of course, if it's at 5%, what's going on with inflation, the devaluation of the currency? But that's the way people look at things. And so you're going to have some of that. But, again, then we take a look at who's doing the buying of the metal for the long term and where are they buying it. And I mentioned this before. Is that, when it comes to like China and India, et cetera, they're not buying ETFs. So we don't have to worry about the Chinese having a margin call or the Chinese selling off their ETFs and affecting the market that way. They're buying the actual metal, and they're continuing to buy it. And a good amount of that reason is for their preservation of their own currency. Silver, on the other hand, if what the bond pros are saying is true, and I stress the if what they're saying is true, and interest rates are going to start going up because of inflation, because of a growing economy, well, silver is going to move up even faster. See, silver has that great dynamic of being money, just like gold, but also it is industrial. It has those 2,000 uses and is incredibly benefited by a growing global economy. There is talk about China trying to moderate its economy because of worries about inflation. Difference is between there and here. So China can handle 5 or 6% inflation because of where it's coming from. I mean, its economy needs to grow almost at a double-digit pace just to keep up with demand, just to keep up with the increase in the amount of people that are moving up to the middle class and upper middle class that are being able to purchase the kind of things that you and I take for granted. I'm not so worried about China moderating its growth from 12% to 9%. Again, because as their economy gets bigger, it doesn't need the same percentage growth to have the same unit growth. And it's unit growth that causes a higher demand, or causes the demand side when it comes to silver and the palladium group of the platinum group of metals, including palladium, other rare earth metals, etc. So why I happen to think, and I've been pretty bold with the statement for quite some time now, years, that silver's about as perfect an investment opportunity as you're going to find. And I've made no bones about it. I like gold for one reason, and the one reason that you buy it is for insurance, economic currency insurance. It will protect you over time against the devaluation of your currency, which happens every single day. Silver has that dynamic, but again, it's also let's call it like a wonder metal. Because of the amount of uses that it has that are not simply strategically important to any economy, it's vital to any economy. And if we can look beyond our borders and look at what's going on in China and India and Brazil and many of the Pacific Rim countries, you see this amazing demand and vital need for silver. Take a basic office building. You can't turn on the lights without using silver. And put it this way, in the switches, in the storage, and in the lights themselves, you find silver. Today, very few hospitals can run without silver. Silver is being used in a number of medical applications. I talked about something all this week and before, especially with the one that causes one of the staph infections to die off. Water purification. One of the most vital things on our planet is fresh water. consumable, what they call potable water. Silver, and in another application that's doing phenomenally well, palladium in water purification. Again, it has to do with the bacteria cleansing properties and things like that. Solar power has become economically feasible to the point where, you know, throughout China, it's really being pushed hard. And in areas like Brazil, you've got pollution concerns. You're seeing massive pushes for it. And solar power is wrought with silver. I mean, it is, forget having, if there wasn't silver, you wouldn't have solar power, period. It wouldn't even be a discussion. It just would not even be, you couldn't even contemplate it. Because silver holds on to and transmit 100% of the electricity generated, period. Copper only runs at 70%. You lose almost a third of the electricity generated when you use copper. That's a big difference. So you see why silver is so important there. Even down to, it's not just the high-tech stuff. It's just, it's not all the what you call some of the fancy stuff. It's the basic stuff. If you want a decent toaster or a decent iron, you want a decent soldering job done, 5% silver solution. I say silver, silver, silver. We've got an opportunity. As it broke 30 and backed off, we've got an opportunity to pick it up. What I think, looking down the road, is going to be extremely cheap. I'd say it's right for you. I'd be taking advantage of it. But then again, that's me. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this edition of Capital Concepts. I'm going to talk a lot more about silver this week and go into a lot of the ins and outs of it. Have an absolutely phenomenal evening. So we at Liberty National have the privilege and the pleasure of speaking with you again. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Capital Concepts with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.lifs.info. That's lifs.info. The opinions expressed on this sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors. This is AM 740 WSBR Boca Raton, South Florida's only Money Talk Radio.